everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Hore alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Benatti, his outstanding show behind the bench. We'll take you to six, and then shortly thereafter, the suddenly resurgent road warriors that they are, the San Francisco Giants, will fill the airwaves with hopefully another win. I was just talking to Jorge coming up. I don't know what's going on with the Giants. It's one thing to lose games at home and win on the road, but basically you're playing the same teams that beat your brains in at home, and you're beating them on the road. I have no idea. But then again, the vagaries of baseball, right? 4 days ago, the Padres were white hot. Now they have lost four straight. The Dodgers go into historically terrible Rocky land, where the Rockies are one of the worst teams that baseball has ever seen, and they lose last night. And now the Rocks have won four in a row. That's why when you're playing a sport that plays at least six times a week, it's not like football where it takes about 3 weeks to get a trend in either direction. Baseball, just give it 4 or 5 days and suddenly you're going completely in the other direction. And we'll see if the Padres can stop the bleeding tonight or if the Giants can find a way. I was kidding around last week to go 28-2 down the stretch. Now, I'm guessing they can't, but that may be what it's going to take. So we'll see. They're coming up tonight. The A's are over on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And we will talk about the great fundraiser Ed has for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus, engineering yardage, a little bit later when we go over the schedule for both stations. Jackson with me as always on a Tuesday, our de facto co-host. It'll be all about Fresno State and Kansas and the matchup, and so we'll get to that momentarily. But first, as always, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you, as they do every day. First of all, here at 2:08 in the afternoon, actually 2:09 in the afternoon, if you are headed home early or you're looking for a late lunch or you're just planning dinner, keep in mind our great buddies at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective, there to help Fresno State with NIL monies, and we really appreciate everything this international, national, and local company is able to do. And right now, there are a couple specials going on. One, the Tuesday special that's been there for a good long while, that is the 8-piece bucket for just $10. You can get 8 pieces dark meat fried chicken, that would be thighs, drumsticks, extra crispy, original recipe, or you can also get 8 original recipe tenders for the same price of $10. So check that out. That's been a long-running Tuesday special, and right now, for a limited time, you have the great $7 fill-up still in play. Choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers, and you can top it all off with the peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. A great deal for just $7 at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, celebrating Brad Pitt's terrific new movie, F1, the movie all about Formula One racing. Stop in, grab a bucket or two, and if you do have time, thank everybody there for being part of the solution at Fresno State. It's really important, you know. Just a few minutes prior to the show starting, Freddie Coleman talking about cutting overhead at certain schools by not having a ton of new uniforms. I don't think the folks at Oregon want to hear about that, by the way, with their million different combinations. But everybody looking at a way to try to level the playing field, particularly if you're not one of the haves. And it's so important to have the local people helping out the way Ed Dunkel does, the way Joe Cruz does, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, and the local KFCs as well. As far as Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply celebrating its 25th anniversary in town. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for 3+ decades. His great business has afforded him the opportunity to donate directly to Fresno State. And again, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, all there under one roof at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can also give them a call at 266-7473 or go to the web. And by the way, that's 266-PIPE in case you want to spell it out. Go to the web at SpearPipeUSA.com or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. The foundation of Joe's business, for instance, if you're someone who is dealing with a valve in any way, if you're a plant person, a maintenance worker, part of a boiler service, anything along those lines, if a valve goes down, your business can come crashing down. And what Joe has put together and why he's had such great success, he's got a family-friendly business with a same-day bottom line for you. Come in, he'll give you a same-day estimate, tell you what he can do for your business to make sure you don't have that crashing problem with a valve, or if you've already experienced it, get you up running in a big, big hurry. And so one more time, stop by and see him, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give him a call, 266-7473. Tell him what you need. He'll analyze it and get you back up and running. And if you have time, he will tell you what he does for Fresno State and the best avenue right now for that. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link right there at the top. You can't miss it. Take you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. So does Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports club, so your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball. Board of directors of the timeout club, and he has said you can call him directly for more information, 559-287-3305 or FurtickJack@AOL.com. Also, links are there for other men's sports, for instance, dugout club for baseball, and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then the very important Bulldog Bread Collective we were talking about in regard to KFC just a moment ago. Marcus McMurrian took over. Chris started it, handed it off to Marcus. Two Bulldog legends, one from the 80s, one from just a few years ago. That's right, Chris, the 80s, you heard me. If it were my time, it would have been the 70s, but close enough, Paisan. Bulldog Bread Collective, very important. BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus McMurrian wants to hear from you. Any donation, any sponsorship idea, big or small, make sure you hit him up. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Finally, the last word comes from our other good and longtime friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They have the $99 special right now. The heat is coming back, ladies and gentlemen. So if you've gotten this far without checking the AC, good for you, but you better have it checked right now. And also keep in mind, get that heat also checked for when we actually need it, if we ever have winter again in this town. But Lee's a terrific group. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I had them in to do work even during COVID. They're really professional people, terrific folks to deal with. Any need you have, plumbing, heating, central air, roofing, give them a call. 825-5337, which is 825-LEES or LeesAir.com on the web. Also, they sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring up guests like Jackson Moore. Same with Phil and his guests. And Phil also can take callers from the general public. 1-559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as the forecast goes, we're right on the seasonal average today. A 96 today, very pleasant, a low around 66. Couldn't ask for anything better than that. 98 tomorrow, and then we start to move upward. Not quite as pronounced as we thought yesterday, but still getting there. 102 Thursday, 106 Friday, 107 Saturday. We were told we were going to be closer to 109, but hot enough, 106, 107 over the weekend. And also the lows are going to be up in the mid-70s, so we don't get that cooling at night that we're getting right now. 104 Sunday, 102 Monday, and then we do trend down about this time next week, 98, 96, 94. And, of course, keep in mind, team is on the road in Lawrence, Kansas this week, but next weekend they are home against Georgia Southern, so we will see if that rather pleasant low 90s forecast for mid to late week next week holds on for kickoff on Saturday. We'll see about that. But anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lees. So thanks to everybody at Lee's. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, everybody, Precision Civil Engineering, and the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to one and all. Turn now to our good friend and longtime de facto co-host, the king of the bark part himself. It is Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Jackson. It's always good talking to you. Speaking of weather, we're going to spend the next 43 minutes talking about weather. So this will be the brand new show, K-Weather. SNL had a bit at one point where they had an AM-FM deal that Dan Aykroyd did where all it was weather and time. So you call up and say, hi, welcome to K-Time. What time is it? 8:15. Then you call to the FM. What's the weather? 77 degrees. That was all they did, Jackson. So we could do that if you'd like. We could open the phone lines and just talk about the weather. That having been said, you know what we're going to talk about right now? That's right, the weather in Lawrence, Kansas. That's what we're going to talk about. If things hold, and I know you're on your way there at the end of the week, it's supposed to be chance of showers in the morning on Saturday. Now, keep in mind, it's a 5:30 kick Central time. And the weather, to say the weather can be problematic in the Midwest this time of year, is a massive understatement, all right? You know this, it is always humid, and it's usually hot, and it can be stormy, and it can be crazy there. But, Jackson, by and large, if the forecast is right, one would argue this plays right into Fresno State's hands, because the Bulldogs haven't had a torridly hot summer here, but it has been a Fresno summer, sort of. You go into Lawrence, Kansas, where after some showers in the morning, it's supposed to clear out with a high of 88 and some clouds, and then 67 in the evening. For folks coming from here to there, Jackson, that's going to be like putting the jetpack on, right?
I'm glad you brought this central rain to my attention. I was not aware of that. I'm going to have to pack my camera protective gear just in case.
That's just in the morning. You'll be fine. I'm guaranteeing, you know, on my easy chair here, I'm fully reclined, I might add. I'm guaranteeing you a pleasant night. No reason to bring the rain gear along, all right? That's going to be long since dawn of the morning. You have to give up your 36 holes of golf, however, which is what Jackson does every place he goes. Seriously, though, if it is what it's supposed to be on Saturday, for Fresno State to play in 67-degree weather means you're going to be energized and then some, right?
Yeah, especially because this team, you know, usually you think about Fresno State fall camp and you go through all the heat and wherever you're going to go just doesn't matter too much. And maybe the humidity or the altitude, if you're in one of those places, might be something you have to consider. But for the most part, you're not too worried about being hot somewhere else. This camp has obviously been very mild, all things considered, especially how early they started.
Right.
It's been really nice for most of the camp, and they've kind of been hyping it up the last 2 weeks to be like, you know, we haven't really experienced what we're going to experience at Kansas. It hasn't been that hot here. It's going to be hot and humid out there, and so if they spend all 2-3 weeks kind of with that mindset, and then they show up, and it's just cloudy and cold and windy and relatively cold and or just a really nice day, however it turns out being, anything besides real hot and humid, it's going to be a relief for these guys as they take the field. So, I think both teams, you know, they're going to try to run the ball and be physical, and so I don't think necessarily the game itself is going to play out one way or the other in favor of one team, but we'll take some weight off the Bulldogs' shoulders if they don't have to deal with that element that they're preparing for right now.
Well, and that is the fair comment, and that's what I was getting to. It's not going to impact the game, and that's the thing. The one thing you worry about if you're coming from here out to the Midwest is humidity, because that's what can just tear you up. It's one thing we do not get here. You know, when you get 60% humidity there, it's met with a shrug, right? I mean, there are times, honestly, Jackson, times going to do games in the Midwest where – you get out of the shower to get ready to go to the ball game, and you might as well get right back in the shower again because it feels basically the same when you get out, because it's just so incredible. You know, you get 96 degrees with 92% humidity. And people, you know, say the joke, and I've told you this before, people will say, well, it's a dry heat. You can say, yeah, well, so is a kiln, but I don't want to live there. Well, the point is this. It is true. There is a huge difference between dry heat, which we get out here, and what you see with humidity. It can affect you in so many ways. And, for instance, we saw Fresno State, as you know, coming off of the win, Purdue a couple of years ago, go in to an environment of dry heat in Tempe, and it didn't bother Fresno State one bit. That was coming back home to the kind of weather that we get here when you went to Arizona. So if it is what it's supposed to be, it takes that factor away. So if you say the weather isn't going to be an issue, do you start to believe, as I do, that as I look down the list of the matchups, if the Bulldogs don't beat themselves, I don't see where in the world realistically this near 2-touchdown point spread comes from. I just don't see the gap. Do you?
Yeah, I don't, especially after going through this last year with Michigan. You look at where some of the gaps are and you just say, well, obviously it's a much different situation and even the Bulldogs are a much different team, but you just don't look at the gaps that are there and say it's overwhelming like it was last year against the Wolverines, and the Bulldogs right. still held up pretty well over there, even with those big gaps. So, you know, there's a handful of pretty, you know, what were elite recruits that are there that have kind of come through the portal into the Jayhawks program. There's, I think, probably the trenches is the biggest concern. Just when you look at the skills positions, they do have Jalen Daniels, the quarterback. He's one of the oldest, most experienced quarterbacks you'll find, but not over the top, I would think. The receivers group is almost all brand new. They've got a couple of experienced running backs, but not, you know, guys that are real huge threats, I would say, against you. And then on the defensive side of the ball as well, they've got some threats at the end, and otherwise maybe a linebacker or two to worry about. Otherwise, it looks, you know, not all that different from what the ball plays. So, really, it comes down to are the Bulldogs on the O-line and the D-line going to be big enough and physical enough to match what the Jayhawks want to do, which is going to be very similar. And at least on paper, the size doesn't seem to be a big difference. But, yeah, we just don't know exactly how this O-line is going to operate and how those D-tackles are going to look when they're faced against this type of opposition. So, for me, as long as the Bulldogs take care of business there, this is a nail-biter type game. If they don't take care of business there, maybe 12 to 14 points is kind of the reality of what this game looks like.
It is so similar to the conversations that you and I have had the last 2 years, one prior to Purdue and the one, as you referenced, prior to Michigan last year. But also, Jackson, it goes back more than that in regard to the statement that happens to be true. As the lines go, so go the Bulldogs. Now, I know that's an oversimplification, and we also know that particularly at the non-power level, and really more specifically at the big-time have level, because there are a lot of P4 schools that also struggle with this, it's the toughest proposition, recruiting to the lines. But for Fresno State, the last 2 years in particular, you just went into a game saying skill position-wise, you can hold up beautifully if the lines hold up the way they did. Now, we talked about Michigan. The Bulldogs had their chances before the one INT. You also had Michigan finally be able to run the football late in the game the way they couldn't for the first three quarters. Whether that was the Bulldogs wearing down or whether the Wolverines started breaking tackles, number one, which leads one to believe the Bulldogs were starting to get a bit tired, or the Wolverines just saying, you know what, we are defending national champions, for goodness sake, we're at home, we should be able to do this. Who knows? Except Fresno State was right there up until that INT. This would appear to be closer to Purdue than Michigan. Is that fair to say? Because I don't think Kansas is coming off of a defending national championship season. Although they did finish a lot stronger, right?
Yeah. So obviously not anything near Michigan. Probably better than Purdue to an extent, but. Last year, you know, if the coaches could have spoken candidly, if people could really speak their mind and their hearts, you probably would have heard a lot of these Michigan defensive tackles are monsters, and we don't really have much of a chance to stop them with the O-line that we have. And they pretty much played that way. They were ultra-conservative. They didn't want to put Mikey Keene in harm's way at all. They just did their best to run the ball and grind the clock and hopefully have a chance at the end. There's nothing on this Kansas team that compares to that sort of deal. I do think a little bit different than Purdue is that game really was pretty wide open, and the Bulldogs have the ability to score in bunches. I think this game's going to be a lot tighter and should be a lot closer, and Fresno State shouldn't have to dig out of a big deficit like they did at Purdue, but it might be tougher to sustain the lead and come out on top over the long run than the Boilermakers were. So I think this is a very manageable game, and you know, there's a chance maybe the odds makers don't have this one right, given all the changes on both sides of the ball. Kansas doesn't return many starters, and they have two new coordinators, but there's obviously a lot of question marks on the Bulldogs side as well.
That game against Purdue 2 years ago was Mikey Keene's first start, as people are aware, and also was the game that showed us that if Mikey had a clean pocket, that he had quick enough feet within the confines of the pocket to move around, and if he had passing lanes, he was very effective. The problem as the season wore on, and certainly was a problem last year, when he got chased out of the pocket, and sometimes it was too quick to get out of the pocket, he was in big trouble on the outside, which kind of belied the normal MO, as you're well aware, Jackson, of a shorter quarterback. You usually think of a Kyler Murray type of person, not that he ever had the kind of talent that Kyler Murray has, but that you think of a guy who is shorter in stature, around 5'10 or so, as being a bigger threat outside the pocket, kind of like Doug Flutie was both collegially at BC and with the Bills in the NFL. With Mikey Keene, that wasn't the case. When he got out of the pocket, he was in trouble. He wasn't fast enough to beat the edge rushers, and he spent a lot of time throwing passes away or throwing them off his back foot and causing a lot of trouble for the Bulldog offense. The next year, the year after Purdue, Michigan was able to pressure him more effectively, and it was the MO throughout last year. Do you see a quarterback, in this case Warner, that is more capable of withstanding pressure coming from the edges, Jackson, someone who is more willing to stand in there without bailing out? How do you view it? Because we've talked about his turnover problems at Temple and at Rice. How do you view the matchup with Kansas and with Warner?
I do expect that to be more manageable for the Bulldogs with Warner back there. His statistics alone, his analytics, how he handled pass rushes, he was one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the whole country and one of the least sacked also in the country, and also didn't necessarily run the ball very much. You know, he didn't scramble 50 times, a couple of extra yards. He just had a knack for getting out of trouble, and he also really didn't throw the ball away all that much either. So he's got a good knack for evading pressure in the pocket. It doesn't mean he's going to take off for a big run. It doesn't mean he's going to dump it off necessarily, but you might pick up a couple of yards. You might find a guy to dump it off to at the last second. So I think that's the plan. I think, in general, it could be a little bit of a bad recipe here. You've got two Bulldog tackles who have never started a college football game before, one super senior and one true freshman. And if there's one strength on Kansas' defense you're probably going to point to, it's probably going to be the defensive end. They've got one key player coming back and another that just transferred in from Texas and has already been named a team captain. So they are probably going to have the ability to cause some pressure on the edges given all the circumstances in this game. But the difference is that last year's offense, basically every play that wasn't a designed run, so any RPO, any pass play, maybe a side an occasional screen, had the threat of a defensive end breaking loose and getting past one of the Bulldogs tackle and having Mike McKean running for his life, whereas this offense, obviously they're going to run the ball quite a bit. They're probably going to do some, quite a bit under center. There's going to be some quick passing. There's going to be a read at the line of scrimmage where Warner's probably going to see an opening, take a snap, quick drop back, and get the ball out. So really the only part where what felt like every play last year was a threat, now it's just going to be, I think, if the Bulldogs are in probably third and seven and beyond, and it's an obvious passing play where you need some time to let receivers get downfield. If you're in those straight-up situations, then we're really going to learn what the Bulldogs are made of on the O-line and pass protection. But for the large majority of the game, they should be trying to just push the line forward and run the ball, and then a lot of design timing plays where Warner shouldn't be back there making a whole ton of reads and potentially running for his life. There should be more designed looks, and if it's not there, you'll find a way to get out of it before just standing back there all day and then waiting for a hit.
Well, we know that both teams do, as you referenced, want to take the same approach. I ask you this. First of all, Jaden Daniels, who I think is in his early 30s now, it seems like, what was it, 2020? Wasn't that his first year at Kansas? And he's still there. And I know there have been a lot of twists and turns. But when you look at he and Devin Neal, do you want to compare? And I know, again, you've got to look at the lines. I get it. But if you look at Daniels and Neal vis-a-vis Warner and Donaldson, understanding that Speedy Luke is also right there, Bulldogs have an advantage with the QB running back combination, or are you not prepared to say that going into this game? Daniel certainly has experience, but he has missed a lot of playing time because of injury and other things.
Yeah. Good story on Daniels here. I was at practice today and I interviewed Roland Fullwood. Both Daniels and Fullwood went to Lawndale High School. Wasn't
right.
Exactly sure how much of their paths crossed. I know Daniels graduated in 2020, Fullwood in 2021. And Roland tells me that, they were teammates. They won a state championship in 2018. So it's been almost a decade. They won their high school championship together, and now they'll be playing against each other. So it goes back quite a ways. And, at the end of the day, Daniels, he hasn't been necessarily stellar game in and game out, but when he is good, he's really good and is quite a threat. And if that version, especially the one that probably played like in 2022 where his numbers were wildly efficient, they've had some decent seasons at Kansas while he's been there. If they get that guy, that's probably the biggest factor in this game. But if the Bulldogs can frustrate him, or if he looks a lot more like the player that they had last year, which 14 touchdowns, 12 picks, that's not phenomenal by any means. Suddenly, I think that advantage starts to tilt over to Bryson Donaldson, I think. So I think the ball is in Daniel's hands on that one, and we'll see if he looks really good or looks really average based off of what the Bulldog defense is able to do.
Well, Daniel's back in 2020, as you know, Jackson, started about half the games there, and they actually were 0-9. In that 2020 season, of course, shortened by COVID. So he has seen the downside. And as you're well aware, you talk about him being a SoCal kid from Lawndale, he was very well regarded coming out. It has been a lot of twists and turns, and for him an opportunity to play against guys that he knows. This game for Fresno State, and we were talking about it last week, sits in an interesting position. Normally, you start a season off when you're Fresno State anyway, where you get a big challenge, usually on the road. Then you have that quote-unquote lesser opposition, though the Bulldogs have had some struggles against teams like that. Then it's back to non-conference on the road again, or sometimes a second non-conference game at home. This is, as we've said, a three-game set. This one, Georgia Southern, is a really good team coming in here next week and who can win, that's for sure. Then you go to Corvallis. You play Oregon State, not coming off of a great year, but they are a future conference mate. said it, Jackson. They could be 0-3. They could be 3-0. Your strong feeling one way or the other, or are they going to be somewhere in between? I guess what I'm asking is, a win at Kansas, does it propel this team potentially, realistically, to a 3-0 start, and does a loss put them behind the eight ball at home next week, feeling the pressure, knowing that you're going on the road the following week again? How do you view this game, the import of a season opener with a brand new coaching staff and a new backfield, if you will?
Yeah, you hit it on the head, because we've been talking all offseason about 3-0 is possible, 0-3 is possible. We just don't know. But it could really, that outlook could change quite a bit based on this first game. If they go in there and beat Kansas, all of a sudden it feels like they're favorites by a pretty significant degree to beat Georgia Southern at home and go to Oregon State
right.
and get to that 3-0 mark. And even if they're just competitive and they lose this game, it probably still feels like the next two are pretty much toss-ups. So it doesn't change too much there. And if this team, for some reason, really falls below expectations, then you really start worrying about those next two games, especially Georgia Southern, because they won't have a game under their belt to compare with Fresno State. So it's going to change quite a bit based off these four quarters that we're going to see. And even Coach Ince himself, ask him a lot of these questions, what this team is, what they're going to be, what they look like, where they're at right now. And he kind of just said, we really just need to play someone else to find out. We really need to just evaluate what this team is and where we're at. And this is a pretty good test to do so right out of the gate. So, obviously, again, from my perspective, if they win this one, you can really start getting excited about maybe being 3-0. And then you can be excited about 4-0, because that's the one game you can count on at Southern, the other Southern in week three, which would be game four for the Bulldogs. And then hopefully you get Hawaii, and maybe all of a sudden you're 5-0 with the bye and ready to make a really big run. Same time, if this looks ugly and Kansas pushes Fresno State around, then you start worrying about where that first FBS win might come from at all. So right now, everything kind of feels like it's in the middle, and the pendulum's going to swing quite a bit based off of Saturday's result.
You know, I was talking with Paul yesterday about the Raider game over the weekend, and not a surprise to those of us who, of course, have been around the Mountain West to watch Genty do what he did. The 49ers were understandably impressed, and I've mentioned this before. I don't think I've ever seen a 5'8 running back built the way Genty is. I mean, he's 5'8, 208 pounds. It's all muscle. He looks like he could be Mr. Olympia, for goodness sake, and that's all well and good, but he's able to translate that strength, and he's given Pete Carroll, like you said, his new Marshawn Lynch. I mean, a guy, and Pete Carroll's trying to hold back the enthusiasm, but I know Pete pretty well, and he was fairly giddy despite the fact they lost that game. He couldn't have cared less about Jake Moody's 5 field goals, okay? He was looking at what he wants and what he's had in the past, which is a running back that he can go to and say, you know what, I can put this offense on the back of Ashton Genty and we can win. One more time, Jackson, I know it's a stable of running backs, and I know we're going to see, particularly early in the year, shared responsibility. But do you look at this Bulldog offense and say, it's on the back of Donaldson the way I have said repeatedly I believe it is?
I think when the game's on the line, that's going to be the case. I know Coach Ince confirmed Monday that Rayshon Luke is going to have a pretty big role in this offense.
Right.
They're the only two guys that are listed on the depth chart. I think Jonathan Arsenault is right there as well. He's not listed, but I think the three of them are going to touch the ball quite a bit in this game and the first few games, and then maybe they cut that down a little bit from there. I do believe Brandon Ramirez and Elijah Gilliam are going to be utilized in a little bit of a different role, a little bit of a specialized role perhaps, where maybe they're not being handed off the ball as much, but on the field. So there is a way, I think, to get all these guys on the field. But when push comes to shove, when the game's on the line, you need that game-winning drive, if it's third and short, I just got to imagine that Donaldson's going to be the guy that's in there. And maybe you just have a whole game where it feels like it's on the line from start to finish in conference play, and he really takes on that load. So I think that's probably the way it's headed. But ideally, if they can diversify the backfield and use a lot of different players and win games and keep everyone fresh, they would love to do that, probably more preferably as a program, if they can afford to do it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they're looking at a Dwayne Wright 250-yard game. I think they're looking at talking the last 5 minutes. Who do you want that ball in the hands of, right? And I think you want it running-wise in the hands of Bryson Donaldson. That's no knock against anybody else. By the way, once again, Benito and Reedley taking the high road here. He said, ask Jackson what the line is so he can get his card in by Wednesday. So, what, 12 and a half, Jackson? Is that what you're going with? Are you setting lines now? I'm not aware of this. You in concert, you and James Holzhauer putting together your own stuff in Vegas? What's going on there? You want me to tell Benito to go with 12 and a half and which direction you want him to go, Jackson? I will say this, Benito. If you can get the Bulldogs at anywhere between 12 and a half to 13, or jump on it, all right? I'm just kidding. Don't say, yeah, never mind. You want to say something, Jackson? You want to say that's foolish? What you want?
Yeah, I just feel like there's one way the Bulldogs don't cover in this game, and that's if they just get bullied around in the trenches, and it's possible. But pretty much every scenario I can come up with, I think they're going to be more competitive than that and might even pull out the upset. So I feel like it's a lot more likely than not that they're in this game closer than the spread says, but there's still a reality where this game doesn't look as competitive as we think it's going to be. I think that's one of the possibilities out there, and hopefully it's not what it is.
Well, and look, we've talked over and over again about I told you the great father-son moment when I told my son, you know, sit down here, young man, I need to explain to you the reality of the backdoor cover. You know, all right, son, so you're up. You're getting 13, and, you know, things look good, and then your first-team guys are standing on the sidelines with the baseball caps on, and somebody throws a meaningless touchdown in the last play of the game and darks the spread. You got to be careful about that. So that's my advice to you, Benito. My advice, seriously, Benito, is stick with the eggs. You've got the most priceless commodity in all the world outside of coffee beans, evidently, right now. So just don't worry about it. But I think that the number is around 12 and a half, right, Jackson? It's down from where it was at the start of the handicapping, isn't that correct?
Yeah, it started around 14.5, 14, dipped down to right. 12.5 in most places. So the money's going on Fresno State on this one, at least so far.
Well, I'm glad we could take the high road at the same time. Don't you feel real clean about this right now? It's time to be deloused, right? All right, last thing for you. And again, you and I will visit on Friday. Jackson will be in Lawrence, Kansas with his umbrella out saying, damn it, it's not raining. And I'll say, that's supposed to be Saturday morning, Jackson. Get over it. Any surprises as the depth chart was released? Any surprises at all that you saw first, second team?
You know, virtually none, to be honest, from covering camp so closely. There are probably some that I might have practice access would have really caught me off guard, especially Keontre Harris, local out of Lemoore, as being one of the backup cornerbacks. There was probably five or six guys I might have had in front of him when evaluating the cornerback room this offseason, and he's really shot up the depth chart, and he might have a chance to even take some snaps here in this game at Kansas as a redshirt freshman. So that one was exciting to see. Obviously, Braden Walton, we kind of expected to be that starting right. Left tackle. I just kind of wanted to wait and believe it when I see it on the depth chart, and now he's there, so he'll be starting that left tackle as a true freshman in this one. Probably the biggest surprise for me was seeing Carson Conklin actually listed as QB2. Most teams have avoided naming a backup quarterback publicly if they've got more than one option. And that was the case at Fresno State last year even. It never really said who was the second-team quarterback, but we know Joshua Wood had that package, so he would be out on the field playing quite a bit. They may have to start someone that ended up being Jaden Mandel in the bowl game, so we've seen in the past Logan Fife and Jaden Henderson, you know, all those types of things. It seems like teams avoid naming a backup quarterback if they can, but they went ahead and put Conklin on that depth chart and left Jaden Mandel off, so at least signals I guess what the plan is if something happens with Warner, but I think there might be a chance to see Mandel on the field even as a more of a maybe a running third and short type of quarterback if they want to bring that element to the game, because he's got some of that to him as well. So Otherwise, pretty much looked about as what I expected to see.
Well, it's interesting to bring that up because when I first thought about the situation quarterbacking-wise, either Matt Entz, of course, great experience as a head coach. This is not his first go-around. We know the terrific success he's had at different levels. It's either they want Kansas to think about Conklin, who is a little bit more of a gunslinger than Warner is, or more particularly, they don't want them to pay attention to Mandel, who, like you said, may very well have a package or two lined up, and that might be part of the gamesmanship, although I don't know right now that the folks at Kansas are probably looking anywhere past their own house at the moment to try to figure things out. In closing, you and I will reconvene on Friday. Two things. One, on the board, any specials right now?
Yeah, so 24/7 Sports is running their 50% off special for the preseason, and just about every site on our network still has preseason for another week, so we get the benefit of running that sale through the Bulldogs' first game week here being week zero. So all week long, you can head to barkboard.com and get 50% off a year. It comes out to just $5 a month, and get in on, or you can catch up on all the fall camp stuff and get in on our coverage of game week this week as well. Or you can try it for just $1 on your first month.
Well, it's just a great value. Sign up for it if you can. And along those lines, Jackson, I don't remember the last time a regular season game, not a conference championship game or a bowl game, but a regular season game for Fresno State was on one of the big over-the-air networks. This one is on Big Fox, of course, Channel 26 here and throughout the Valley. But that it was on prime time, which it is because, of course, it's kicking off at 6:30 Eastern time, so it's going to go right through prime time. And you had so little competition against you. You know, last year we talked about the Michigan game, but that was during the big, busy Labor Day weekend, and it was everybody taking their best shot, right? All the major networks had games. This is really having the stage not completely to yourself. There are only five games really out there. So it's a great opportunity, which begs the last question here in the last 30 seconds. I'm with you. I've got the vibe. If the Bulldogs don't make mistakes, they have a great shot at this. Is it your feeling if Fresno State wins the turnover battle, they will win this game?
Yeah, that's probably the big thing, because we're kind of under the assumption that Fresno State's going to look comparable to Kansas and it's going to be toe-to-toe, but you have a bad turnover, bad mistake, or more of them than Kansas, and that probably cost you what could have been a win. And I think Kansas is probably going to have more wiggle room to afford a mistake or two and still win compared to the Bulldogs. So Fresno State's really got to play. I mean, they got to win in the trenches or at least be even with the Jayhawks, and then they got to be really clean. They can't afford to lose the turnover battle. And if they do those things, I think it's going to be a nail-biter down to the stretch. And if they're on the wrong end of that thing, it might be a little bit too much to overcome. But I think this whole scheme, this whole team design is built around playing close games, being very efficient, and pulling it out of this getting the victory at the final stretch of that thing. So I think that's where the Bulldogs are planning to be.
Well, let the other team chew it up between the 30s. Stop them there at threes instead of sixes. Your secondary has big play potential. You can do that. Stop them and force those threes and get a big play or two defensively or with special teams. As long as you don't turn it over, you got a great shot. I know they're underdogs for a reason, but I do like the vibe in this game. But you know what? We're going to have to see it play out over four quarters. Jackson, I appreciate it. Have a safe trip into Lawrence, Kansas, to Kansas City initially, then Lawrence, Kansas. I'll talk to you on Friday, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, DeFacto co-host Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. We'll take a break, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He's got 3 hours for you coming up on KFIG Fresno as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to 54. Commissioner on the show. Hand it off to Phil's outstanding show behind the bench. We'll take you to 6. Tell you all about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500, or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, Belial's College of Engineering, ready to benefit again from engineering yardage. As the last couple of seasons, we have seen a terrific fundraiser that has been put in place by Ed and the business. Again, for every yard gained through the air at home, donation made to the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Again, the goal of this particular endeavor to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's a great template. Love to see more businesses get involved in this regard, something that benefits the school, in this case, College of Engineering on campus, and also is of great benefit to the business world and to Ed's company. So I hope that everybody keeps that in mind. Along those lines, we'll tell you about the folks at KFC doing the very same thing with their ability to help out with NIL. We'll get to that in just a moment. As far as the schedule goes, the Giants winning last night, again, I don't know what it is, why the Jekyll and Hyde, and, you know, they should be Jekyll at home and Hyde on the road, and they're just the other way around, but at least they won last night. They'll have another 6-10 with a 6:40 first pitch tonight on 14:30. The A's get started in Minnesota. A's are entertaining. They've been playing better as of late, but obviously a long way to go before they're a viable playoff team. Twins dealt away 90% of their team before the trading deadline. 4:40 first pitch, the pre on 790 today, just after 4 o'clock. Reminders also later in the week, Phil will have the start of the high school football season after the Giants game in Milwaukee on Friday. It'll be time for the first matchup of the year on Friday Night Rivals, and we're looking at the Friday Night Lights matchup between Inglewood of SoCal and Central East now at Collegian, and that'll come up right after the Giants and the Brewers finish up. And again, keep in mind, the original one out on Dickinson of Clovis of Central High School is now known as Central, and then Central East is the new campus. Again, at Collegian Stadium, should be a terrific matchup with Inglewood coming in. Phil's show 3 to 6 Monday through Friday behind the bench. Great outing, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California, of course. We talk about it all the time. Their anniversary special going on right now, El Paso across from River Park. Great conversation of Phil's show, the LeesAir.com hotline. You can call in 559-320-1430. Check out the furniture. Join the conversation. Some good eats as well Thursdays at Fashion Furniture. Paul Metters is back with his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First Ring Sports on 1430. Paul was on hiatus for a couple of months over the summer, but back, of course, as the high school, JC, and college season start. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net. TDAD, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. I'll get back to you as soon as I can, email-wise. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcast there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. The other reminders, again, I just mentioned KFC. Don't forget the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Really appreciate those folks stepping forward. And right now they have the terrific Tuesday deal that's been going on for a good long while in play. The $10 bucket, 8 pieces of dark meat chicken or original recipe tenders. Also, the $7 fill-ups right now for a limited time. You can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each offering with drink, sides, and sweet pie poppers, and you can top it all off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. That's at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, also celebrating F1 the movie, the fine outing by Brad Pitt and company that took 3 years to put together. Again, thanks to everybody at KFC for being part of the solution. Thank yous also go out to Jorge for his great job again today. And to Jackson, as always, Jack Fertig with me tomorrow. We will talk basketball. Of course, give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. He is coming up, and the final thank yous go out to Ed Dunkel, everybody, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Crew, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Enjoy Phil's show and baseball on both stations. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.